Now I'm live. Thank you. Okay, as we come to half past the hour here in beautiful Prague, locked away as we have been for some time in windowless rooms. Ah, things are looking pretty good, team. Okay. We have interpreters back in the booth. Thank you, ladies, still. I appreciate just making sure I don't make it wrong. And I do take it you feel slightly more refreshed. So I'm glad you had a break. So feel free to use your Spanish and your French. And after working, as you have done, with human interpreters or just trying to make do, I'm sure that you will be relieved and relaxed to actually use your native tongues, which you know is something I certainly support and subscribe. Can I ask now that whoever is in charge of the reporting for each of these groups today, that you prepare yourself to do it can be no shorter than 3 minutes. I'd be happy with five, but you're not allowed to go more than six and a half if I'm feeling extraordinarily generous, on what you've done in your work group. What we'll then do is actually start to talk across each other. So you'll say what you think or questions. We'll take questions at the end. We'll get all the presentations off now. So I guess now we're okay on the clock, and I can see Sala standing to attention at her whiteboard, a zipboard. I like a girl who's rearing to go, believe me. There we go. Sala, over to you. Watch the clock.
Thank you, Cheryl. Very quickly, as we were tasked with reviewing the definitions and also rules 1 to 12, which comprises of the ALEC. And so because we were mindful of that, what we did was we pegged the current structures as it exists at the moment. So we've got the ALEC, and then we've got the different RALOs. And then what we did was we used triggers, because in the current terms, the current definitions, there are quite a lot of terms. We've all opened the rules and procedures. And so triggers of what existed then, because when the document was crafted then, there was no such thing as things like cross constituency working groups, so things that need to go in. So these are triggers for us to sort of start thinking of what needs to go in. And so notice that we put the X common green up there. I won't comment on why that is. Correct. And then what we did was, because we recognize that there are different perceptions of RALO obligations and ALEC obligations, and we were mindful that what we were going to draft or brainstorm on is something that's going to affect the governance structures of it, which is what we won't go into detail now because that'll be post-Toronto, but we felt that it was useful to peg it another way, which is this way where you have the ALEC as the epicenter and the RALOs, and the black things that you see there are the ALSs. Then, of course, we moved into the actual review, our first review, and what we did was, we've as you can see, we've just reached rule 2, in fact 2.5. What we did was we identified things that exist as it is in the current rules of review and things that need to change or where it could be clustered. For example, very quickly, rule 1, we have RALOs appointing 2 people to the ALEC and the NOMCOM appointing 1, involvement of ALS observers, of individuals within the accredited ALS as observers. So things like concepts like what is an observer, you know? What is the level of participation? So things like that we're going to be delving into very quickly. And then you see 1.3 ALEC rep votes. So things like we delved into discussion of that there needs to be a separation of the votes in terms of and also the roles and responsibilities, expectations. In what instances can an ALEC member, or should, currently as it is drafted, there are 2 interpretations. 1, the ALEC member is free to vote as he pleases. The other potential interpretation, or perhaps perception from some of the RALOs, is that the ALAC must carry the mandate of the RALO into whatever decision-making process. And so, and there's a need, and we went into discussion, to identify potential areas where you need to vote, where the ALAC member needs to carry the mandate of the region, and instances where they can vote on their own, things like that. Again, it's all just brainstorming, right? And then rule 2.2, of course, 2.1, as you can see, the chair, two vice chairs, and repertoire. And that's the explanation for why the XCOM is in green, right? Because under the current rules and procedures, there's no provision for the XCOM. I won't get into it. 2.2, the AGM, method of election, terms of office, and the way ALAC chooses officers. And when we say ALAC chooses officers, meaning chooses the chair, chooses the vice chair, and that sort of thing, should it be the, and should the ALAC choose who becomes chair, the vice chair, or should it be something given to the at-large community where the RALOs, you know, put in the vote? I know. But again, drafting, the whole point of drafting, the whole point of drafting is to look at diverse views and put it together. So with that, Cheryl, I hope I was within my time.
You were under your time, but this is just let me say, this now needs to, and you're all very busy, so we know it's not going to happen instantaneously. We need to get this now as almost discussion points in the wiki form. What I'd like to do, Matt, later, is if we just collect all of this and then we can have a bit of a think on Friday about how we can put it together for general palate use and consumption. And that then means when you get back home and everyone else is doing that, you've got a direct link. Back to you.
Thank you. So what we propose to do as a team, given that the hardest part was actually identifying what needed to be done, is we're going to use an MS Excel spreadsheet where we will use, as you can see, where we've drawn a line, where this is the existing rules, and then the separate columns is what needs to be tweaked and whatnot. And I'm not sure if the Excel can actually go into the wiki. It'd be difficult. And it'll come across difficult too, because I remember I tried it once and the numbers were off.
I'm not smart. This is not my smart.
I know. Anyway. And so, and also we recognize just from looking at rules 1 to 12, and this is relation to the rules 1 to 12, we recognize that there are things that need to be categorized differently. There's a lack of roles and responsibilities, yes, and also just a jumbling of election procedures in certain instances all over the place, and there's no such thing as a veto or whatever on certain issues and whatnot that could be improved. And that sort of thing on the potential, because there are instances where ALAC members need to, in my personal view, there are certain instances where ALAC members don't need the permission from the RALOs to vote because of time and whatnot, and that they they should be. But again, that's just my personal view. But then again, there needs to be discussions. And in relation back to the terms and definitions, clearly there's a whole thing, the organization has evolved, ICANN, and also at large has evolved, given its 10th birthday. And so that will change.
Thank you very much. And what we will do is ask you to come back with and when we have questions, and I want to have time for that. Righto, who's next? Come on down, Eduardo. I'm going to have to switch chairs now, aren't I? Oh, no, you can just move. Be better if you moved. Much better if you moved. Now, one point while Eduardo's getting set up, I noticed a tendency of your first drafting group, please listen, a tendency of your group to still stick to a numbered, nomenclatured set of rules where there is no reason why we will not end up with something that looks rather more like articles and sections and less, you know, rule, blah, blah, by blah, blah. Go ahead. Eduardo.
Thank you so much. We have a very interesting conversation there about starting with what needs to be fixed, and we have a conversation about this thing about following UN procedures and Robert rules, the book about the rules and the Robert rules. And, you know, there are suggestions that we should get rid of that. Just like...
But it needs to go to the records.
Right. So there, you know, if we don't use this type of rules, you know, why or how are we going to, you know, follow you know, how we're going to conduct the meeting, especially when there are things that need to be decided. And it was suggested to have the, you know, at one point, if there is an impasse, to have a chair, probably the vice chairs, take over and decide. I mean, this is one of the brainstormings that we did, just so we don't get in this thing about, you know, UN does this or the Royal Rules does that. We just follow this, and if there is an impasse, they decide. So there has to have to be some kind of trust nets within the chair and the vice chairs. There's something that needs to be fixed also in the rules, that there is nothing about in this executive committee about having, you know, the people there being in different part of the regions. Okay, so we need to fix that. Also, we identified there was a. Now that you gave your presentation, we were kind of confused because we were talking there about specific things about selecting officers and this and that, and you talked about that too. But there, you know, we came out back and say, well, but there are some things that the definition group has to define. And one is, you know, some, you know, what is the definition between a chair and a president? Are they the same? They are different. What are the, you know, what is it? Because for some people, president is something; for a chair, is something else. And the example I gave was in a society, the board. There is a chair for the board, and there's the president, and the functions are different in the sense that, you know, the board is doing directions and the president executes. So I'm really a CEO type thing, but they call me president. So it needs to be identified in the definitions group or whoever's doing the definition. The other thing is, and I will go back to this, that we need to define what is when is the end of the annual general meeting. Is it when the board, you know, after the board meeting is, but I, you know, Alan said that the board meeting this time happens at the beginning. Is that correct? Or this time?
Let Cheryl for the transcript record. What we can't measure it by this meeting because this meeting had board meetings very early on and is having no public board meeting at the end at all. But one thing that the board members who I've discussed this with at least have said, there will be an AGM. It matters not then whether it's on Monday, Sunday, Wednesday or Friday. When the AGM ends, then that's the marker. So I think you're safe on that if you talk about the conclusion of the AGM because they have to have one.
My assumption... Sorry?
Go ahead.
Alan Greenberg speaking. Thank you. My assumption is, for a bunch of reasons, we will make sure the bylaws end up saying that the end of the annual general meeting is roughly at the end of the ICANN week. For a whole bunch of reasons, I think it won't likely happen at the beginning.
Right.
But that... From the current bylaws, that's far from clear.
Okay, this is Eduardo again. And all the things that we started talking about, I mean, we didn't actually look at the rules, and specifically we were brainstorming because Alan did a lot of research. Right? So we talked about, you know, one of the possible outcomes of these rules will be that we need to define these officers, five officers, and there's five, so there are one representative from each region. Now, within these five officers, one of them will be the chair. Okay? So the chair has to be one from one region and the other one from the other region. So the thing about this, this is when this definition has to be very clear. When is the end of the AGM? Because we're saying the chair will be identified or nominated, and correct me if I get this wrong, at the annual meeting. And it will be seated after the end of this. And there was an example of a, I believe, Oliver, that, you know, the fact that you were in the nominating committee and you were seated after, sometime after. So that's why this is important. And, you know, Alan, if you want to add to this, I have two more minutes, I guess.
Yeah, the current rules say that you, to be eligible for an officer position or a chair position, you must have a reasonable expectation of being on the ALAC at the time, you know, at the when the position would be seated.
Right.
There's always a possibility of surprises. The nominations are done by the old ALAC because they have to be done ahead of time, and the consensus of our working group was the selection, the voting, if there is voting necessary, be done by the old ALAC. They are the ones who are likely to have the knowledge of the people, and you're not asking brand new people who come in and never mm-hmm. having met any of these people before, having to say, I think he's best or her, she's best
right.
or something. That's much more likely to pick either a random selection or someone who pays off the new voters more. But luckily, by the way, for the last several years, we have not had an election. We've had acclamation, and I would like to hope that continues anyway.
So I have a question.
Okay.
And this is Eduardo again. So if we say, if the chair gets selected by the old, the current, you know, ALAC, does the chairs, I mean, the chair is selected before the end of the AGM and then seated after it? Okay.
That's what I would expect.
And then that's when the new ALAC comes in, after the end of the AGM. So that's very important to define when this is it. So
it's Alan again. We haven't had the discussion yet because the hour ended on when the rest of the officers are either nominated or voted in, probably voted in afterwards by the new one, perhaps not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Thank you, team. And might I just throw a curveball, as they say, at you. I'd like you all to think today's just a first run of this. You'll now sort of loosely gathered together into groups. Keep up the conversation. Remember that it needs to go on the wiki so the other groups can see and be commenting. And that's my problem with Excel. The wiki is going to be a challenge, and as an Excel document, most of Asia will not be able to access it, so that's an issue. But I'd like you to also think laterally, think outside the box. Let me ask you, team, what is wrong with the existing ALAC nominating and appointing, hopefully by acclamation, one member of the executive committee, as you will have defined somewhere, from each region? That's it. And then, after that executive committee as a subset of the new ALAC, a chair is appointed for 2 years from that group. That's one way of doing it. Don't limit your thoughts. I'm not saying that's the way of doing it. I'm saying it's one way of doing it. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, we actually did discuss that somewhat extensively.
Okay.
My personal opinion, and it may not be held by everyone, was that... Sorry.
Yeah. What?
What was that? I believe it's important for the entire ALAC, all regions, to identify who they think will be a good chair. Typically, there aren't that many candidates who are capable of doing it, deemed to be capable of doing it, and willing to take on the workload.
Alan, we really are running out of time.
Okay,
but
fine.
What I'm saying is, what you've done is said even another embellishment that we should be thinking about, because there's no reason why out of the five that it can't be a full ALAC anyway.
Perhaps. The other thing is, I can imagine a region saying this is the best person for the XCOM, but they're not the chair.
And the tragedy with that would be? Rinalia, are you reporting for the last group?
Thank you. This is Rinalia, and I'm reporting for the last group. It's very short, and I'm sorry that I have to stand here, but I'll read it out very clearly so that you don't have to worry that you're not actually looking at the text. So our group's understanding of what we're supposed to do is that we're supposed to pick out from the document on rules of procedure what are the exceptions in terms of compliance and other things that don't fall into normal business or definition, okay? So the first one is basically non-conformance with requirements. And rule 3.6, I can't remember what that was. Do you remember, Fatimata? Microphone, please.
Fatimata, for the record. Qualification criteria for officers. And that's rule number 3.6. You want me to read it for you?
No, just the header.
Well, I just read the header.
Qualification, okay.
Yes.
Second item in terms of exceptions is basically the ex-ALEX chair participation in NOMCOM. Basically, if Olivier ends his term as ALEC chair, he's under the current rule not eligible to participate in the nominating committee for at least 2 years. And we say, why? So that's an exception. The third item is recall votes. So basically, if an ALEC member is not performing, what would you be doing to address that? And so basically, this is not normal business. Fourth item is motion, and it was interesting. Our African colleagues are basically saying this is not normal business and it should be up here as an exception. So if a motion needs to be made within ALEC itself, that's unusual. Right. And consensus is 2/3 majority.
That's the African feeling.
Names, please.
Are you sure?
Thank
because
you.
She read out the rule to me and it was 2/3 majority. 2/3, yeah? Okay. Number 5, point of order is considered to be unusual and not normal business. Yes? Item number 6 is amendments to the rules of procedure. That's not normal business. Non-consensus is not normal. Yes? Code of conduct, if you have to make a point about code of conduct, that's unusual. And the last one is there's rule number 26 about virtual meetings, and there is a feeling within the group that it should be something that is normal instead of abnormal. And that's all that we have, except that I flagged we didn't have anything addressing conflicts of interest in the rules of procedure. Okay, so that's it, basically.
Cheryl Langdonneau for the transcript record. Thank you, Rinalia. Thank you all. And that's exactly... This is an identification. It's a search. We haven't got to the rescue part. We're getting to the search part of the search and rescue for the rules. I think you'll see why we needed to share. Because what you've heard from all of the other groups will already be influencing how you're thinking, right? So this is hopefully getting your juices going. We will find some way for you to collaborate on all of this. Not sure how yet, but we'll get back to you. So I'll take that in a moment. The first thing I want to do, because we'll go on to our final what next steps at the last moment, is ask, is there any questions from any group member to any other group? Thank you, Tijani.
Okay. Yes.
Don't need it.
Okay, I will make the translator work. So I will speak in French.
This is regarding the General Assembly. And we don't know when we could hold the meeting. We used to know it was at the end of the meeting, and now it's different. We don't know how it's going to work out. And I think what we're going to write, and not to depend on the changes we could have, I think we could say in the conclusion, it should be done at the end of each calendar year, at the final meeting of the calendar year of each ICANN meeting. Because if the chair finishes at the end of the AGM, this means that if the GA takes place on a Monday, then he has to be replaced. So I think it would be best if we established it should be held at the end of the last meeting of the calendar year.
Thank you, Tijani. That's one that I'd like to make sure we capture, because that needs chewing over. And I'll tell you why, because it affects the regional or RALO GAs very markedly. That's going to take someone drawing a little diagram in a box. Where's Dev? Dev, flowchart. We need a flowchart. I can giving you a flowchart alert. Basically, he will be serving all teams, all drafting teams. You go to Dev for the pretty pictures. He is the one we use for this. I think we need to look at consequences of that. That's one well worthwhile doing. I'm not sure that it's a simple answer either. Go ahead, Alan.
Two things. Number one, with regard to that, that's closely tied into bylaw rules and when NomCom people are seated. So I don't think we're going to have a lot of discretion. It's unclear right now when it is. I personally think it will be made clear that it will have to be the end of the ICANN week implicitly. I don't know how they're going to define that, but I suspect there will be no alternative. With regard to something that Rinalia was commenting on, and she talked about motions. Now, our current rules talk about motions and resolutions as two different things. Most human beings use the terms interchangeably. I would suggest that we don't necessarily want to treat motions or resolutions as unusual things. Voting on them may be unusual. I think we need to be documenting some of our decisions and things like that in formal processes, even if we don't need to vote on it with a counted vote.
That's Cheryl for the transcript record, and that's a very good point, and it's why we need to start this conversation and why we're doing this today, because you now see that, okay, what you're saying might just need a little tweaking. So for the formal record, for the minuting of our business, we may need some things to be resolved, but that they are it is an exception if they are not resolved by consensus. That's an example. I'm not quoting what should be written down. I'm just saying that's the type of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, what we do have to do in the couple of minutes that we have together is think about next steps, and we need to move backwards from Toronto. I would like to suggest if someone could look at a calendar and tell me when the ALAC meeting when the Toronto meeting is prior to its beginning. So it'll be the one at the end of September. So September what?
They're normally towards the end, so the 20th or somewhere thereabouts, I'm guessing.
I was hoping it was later than that. Go ahead, please. Turn yourself off.
It's Olivia. I'm a bit twitchy at the moment. The ALAC call is on the 23rd. I believe the meeting is actually before that. Yeah.
No, the 23rd, September.
Yes, October.
Can we have the September date, sir? Although, it isn't impossible that we socialise this with the ALAC at Toronto and they vote on it after Toronto. Are we comfortable with that? That might be more achievable? Okay.
The call.
Yep, please. Go ahead.
Sorry. Was that the... Gisela speaking. The teleconference is on Tuesday, the 25th of September.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's where we need to have a fairly solid set of wiki-based pages to tell the ALAC and everyone else in the known universe, public commentary called on, go look at this, between that date and at whatever date Olivier wishes to have our discussion face-to-face with the ALAC in Toronto. And I think the comfort now is get the ALAC to vote immediately after Toronto, which of course will mean it will be the new ALAC that is voting in new rules. And you know what? That kind of makes me feel comfortable. Sally, you had a point you wanted to make.
Thank you. Salnieta Tamanikomaro for the transcripts. A suggestion I'd like to make is prior to the ICANN 45 meeting, if the day before we meet, as at large or as ALAC, if we could have one day, full day, dedicated to consolidating the drafting, because the nature of the work is critical. It affects the RALOs, it affects the entire at large, and also it requires a physical presence.
Sure.
There's some things that can be.
So noted, Sala. We'll put something together with staff and explore that. It's one of those no guarantees situations, but we would certainly need to bring people in on even a half day Saturday. The latter half might be possible, I don't know, but we would need to explore that and what the consequences of it was, but let's take a note of that. Evan, over to you.
Hi, Cheryl, this is Evan, and I really, really apologize for the timing because I've only occasionally been coming up for air, having my face buried in a screen, doing other things. However, I did come up for air long enough to notice one thing, and that was a consideration of two-year terms for executive committee members. And I would simply note that because of the staggered two-year terms of people that are being elected or appointed into ALAC, That makes two-year terms for executive members very problematic.
Let me stop you there.
Okay.
I believe that what we need to do is have two-year terms for the chairman. I don't believe it goes to the rest of the executive committee.
So on the staggered year, okay, my only consideration is that biases the selection in favor of the staggered time when the chair is in and people that get appointed in.
Yes, there's a lot to talk about. You and Alan are going to have fun, right? It is the top of the hour. Ladies, I apologize. It is past the top of the hour and it was not my intention to take you beyond 6 p.m., ladies and gentlemen, you have a lot of things to think about. You have, I hope, a lot of enthusiasm now to take this further. Staff, Olivier and I will make whatever magic can happen in as short a time as possible to give you a nice set of sandboxes to play in. And I would suggest you all watch each other's space. We'll also have other people contribute. Take any time you have while you're here to talk about this. This session is closed with the exception of our usual great and heartfelt gratitude to the tech team that's kept us going. Thank you, boys. And girls, wow, I have no idea how you do it. I'm exhausted just listening to me. How you can possibly manage it, I just, hats off. If I had one, it'd be off. Thank you. And good night.
I do have a point of order. Does anyone know where the gala is and how we get to it?
Yes and yes. It's on the back of the ticket.
Okay.
No. It's an island in the river.
It says public transport, and in the back there are two maps and a lot of walking.
One map is where you get on, one map is where you get off. This is by the Hilton, this is by the destination. Right. So it shows you how to walk from the Hilton to the metro station, how to walk from the metro station to the airport.
Are we all going to...